Darlington Children's Services rated outstanding. Darlington's Children's Services have been rated outstanding by Ofsted. Darlington Council received the top rating following an inspection earlier this year, with inspectors praising its ambitious and relational approach and commending the outstanding progress of children in care and care leavers. Councillor Nick Wallace, Cabinet Member for Children and Young People, said, "This rating reflects the dedication, compassion and professionalism of our entire workforce. We are incredibly proud of this achievement." 3 out of 4 inspection areas were judged outstanding: the impact of leaders on social work practice, the experiences and progress of children in care, and the experiences and progress of care leavers. Children who need help and protection were rated good, with inspectors noting strong early help services, effective safeguarding responses, and high quality assessments. Inspectors visited the service between February the 9th and 13th. They found that children in care benefit from nurturing, stable homes and are valued, championed and supported with ambition for their futures. Care leavers were found to receive exceptional enduring support, including strong relationships with personal advisors and access to a highly valued town centre hub. The report praised the Council's commitment to relational practice, strong partnership working, and its thoughtful, sustainable approach to national reforms. Inspectors described the workforce as resilient, skilled, and motivated. While inspectors identified long-term child protection planning as an area for improvement, they concluded that Darlington's commitment to children's safety, well-being, and success is deeply embedded.
A Darlington pensioner charged with attempted murder will appear before a judge next month. Colin Finch, 77, of Hammersknot Avenue, Darlington, appeared before Newton Aycliffe Magistrates Court on March the 19th for a short first hearing. No pleas were entered. The court heard the charge relates to an incident on March the 18th in which a woman in her 70s was allegedly attacked at a property on Hammersknot Avenue. Finch was remanded in custody and the case was transferred to Teesside Crown Court for a plea and preparation hearing on April the 20th. Emergency services were called to the address just after 7 a.m. on the day of the incident. The woman was taken to James Cook University Hospital in Middlesbrough, where she was in a stable condition.
The head of care and quality at a retirement village near Darlington has appeared on a special episode of BBC Radio 4's Women's Hour, sharing advice on looking after ageing parents. Debbie McGuinness, registered manager at Middleton Hall Retirement Village in Middleton St George, spoke on a Women's Hour Guide to Life episode. The episode explored the emotional and practical challenges families face as parents grow older. Ms. McGuinness said, "Many families find themselves stepping into caring roles very suddenly, and it can feel overwhelming. Starting conversations early can make a huge difference and helps ensure parents are part of decisions about their future. With more than 40 years of nursing experience and more than 26 years in residential care, she offered advice on how families can begin sensitive conversations before a crisis arises. She also encouraged families to get in touch with social services early, approach discussions gently, and tackle issues step by step rather than all at once." Ms. McGuinness said, "Caring for someone you love can bring feelings of worry, guilt, and exhaustion. It is important to remember that looking after yourself is just as important." Other topics covered include understanding the types of care available, planning for cost and funding, advanced care plans, power of attorney, and continuing healthcare funding. Ms. McGuinness appeared alongside elder mediator Tracy Adamson and parent carer Kat Sims on the broadcast, which is available to listen to on BBC Sounds. Ms. McGuinness qualified as a nurse in 1984 and began her career in the NHS before moving into private healthcare.
Hundreds of people descended on South Park in Darlington on Saturday morning to tackle a park run in memory of Gary Reed. Gary of Darlington died on Monday, March the 16th, after being diagnosed with colorectal cancer. The 45-year-old leaves behind his wife Rachel, children Sophie, 25, and Kieran, 22, their dog Willow, and a huge group of friends and supporters. He was a well-known and well-loved face on the Darlington running scene, offering words of encouragement to other runners. Before the park run started, the chair of Quakers Running Club, Rob Gillam, said, "Every time he ran here, all he ever did was encourage runners. He would stop, go back, and sacrifice his own time just to help other people. To honour him in this little way is the least we can do." He added, "I raced against him on so many occasions. I listened to his excellent karaoke events. The guy was a friend, a running colleague, everything. He's going to be very, very missed." It was an emotional morning before the run started, as hundreds of runners lined up at the start line. Before the start of the run, Rob led a group tribute to Gary, saying, "As we go round today, I ask you to think of him. Be kind, be thoughtful, be encouraging to everyone taking part. And in doing so, we can all be a little more Gary." Gary was diagnosed with colorectal cancer on June the 11th, 2025, and on New Year's Eve was told the disease was terminal. Despite his diagnosis, he spent his final months raising money, spending time with family and friends, and sharing messages encouraging people to take their health seriously. Gary was a former assistant highways engineer with Darlington Borough Council. He worked at the authority for 8 years before being forced to retire due to ill health. In January, hundreds of people gathered in South Park to support Gary at a fundraising run organised in his honour, raising more than £20,000 for Macmillan Cancer Support. During his illness, Gary also spoke of his pride in his family and their plans to run the Darlington 10K together in August.
A Darlington resident's application to join the Royal Navy was lost by the Royal Mail, leading to the town's MP calling for improvements to the service. Lola McAvoy raised an urgent question in Parliament last week after hearing her residence in Darlington had been impacted by Royal Mail service failures. The MP gave examples of people who have contacted her about cases, including someone's application to join the Royal Navy. The application included important personal documents and, despite using Royal Mail's tracking system, the application was lost. Ms. McAvoy also quoted another resident who was due to get compensation from Royal Mail following a late delivery, only for the cheque to bounce. The Darlington MP said, "I would like to put on record that, despite testimony to the contrary, it is Darlington's postal workers who are the best in the country. They deliver their service to the best of their abilities, and they also provide a social service. Their visit is often the only one residents get. I want to draw the Minister's attention to two quite shocking cases that constituents have brought to me." In response, Blair McDougall MP, Minister for Small Business and Economic Transformation, agreed to continue to pressurise Royal Mail directly and through the regulator Ofcom to improve the service in Darlington. Darlington is not the only town in the region to be affected by poor Royal Mail service. Residents in Spennymoor also said they are living in a nightmare as people are missing hospital appointments due to delays in their mail.
An emotional Sir Tony Blair paid tribute to the Colossus and one-off John Burton at his funeral. Mr. Burton, who served as Sir Tony's constituency agent from 1983 and throughout his 24 years as Sedgefield MP until he stood down as Prime Minister in 2007, died last month, aged 85. Mr. Burton, from Trimden, was a Labour councillor in County Durham and also a member of Sedgefield Borough Council. Hundreds of mourners and gatherers started to arrive at St Mary Magdalene Church from 11 a.m. onwards, and there was a light-hearted mood outside the church as names were checked against a list. This was because there were only 85 seats in the church, though the service was also being live-streamed in St William's Catholic Church, a short walk up the road. Mr Burton was well-respected in the Trimden community, with mourners packing Sir William's and standing on the grass outside St Mary's to pay their respects. It was an extremely powerful service, led by the Reverend David Lucas, as a hat lay atop Mr Burton's coffin, which had been resting in the church since 3 p.m. the day before. Following the eulogy, Sir Tony Blair stepped up to give his address, his voice breaking as he said, "This is the speech I knew one day I would have to make, but have always dreaded. But at the same time, I'm immensely proud to make it because it allows me to pay homage to a colossus. He was an exception, a one-off." He added, "John Burton could have held his own with anyone and became an inseparable part of my fate and fortune." The former PM's speech drew laughter as he recalled a moment in the Bush pub in Chiltern where Mr. Burton informed him that if he ordered a certain drink, we're both dead. Sir Tony said even when he was Prime Minister, Mr. Burton was one of the people he always turned to. One instance that stuck out in particular was the infamous egging of John Prescott in 2001, which was followed by the then Deputy Prime Minister landing a swift 1-2 on the chin of the egger. He recalled, "There was consternation in party headquarters about how to respond. I phoned John, who said, 'Well, the view from Trimden is the bloke had it coming. That settled it for me.'" He added, "John was content where he was. He was where he belonged. It made him lesser known in the outside world. It made him respected and beloved inside his world." Fighting back tears, he said, "I will take his spirit with me and hope to pass on some of what I learned from him to others who can learn from me. He changed my life, not just the ascent to high office, but the purpose of it all, what matters and why." Alan Strickland, MP for Newton Aycliffe and Spennymoor, also attended Mr. Burton's funeral and paid his own tribute to a warm and kind man. Mr. Strickland said, "It was really moving to see so many people from all aspects of John's life come together to remember a well-lived life. John had a huge impact on the Labour Party, both here in the constituency and nationally. But most of all, we'll all remember him as an incredibly warm and kind man, always keen to nurture, encourage, and support."
A rising star in classical music will close a season of piano recitals in Darlington. Julian Trevelyan, a British pianist who came to everyone's attention in 2024 with a fifth place finish in the 2024 Leeds International Piano Competition, will perform at Darlington Piano Society's final regular concert of the season. The concert will take place at Central Hall at the Dolphin Centre on Sunday, April 12th at 3 p.m. Greg Johnson, chairman of Darlington Piano Society, said, "Julian's recital is extremely varied, and it will be fascinating to hear his arrangement of a major work by Richard Strauss, which, alongside an early Beethoven sonata, is the longest piece in his programme." Mr. Trevelyan's recital will also include works by Bird, Bach, Schoenberg, and his own arrangement of Strauss's four last songs. Tickets are £18 and are available at the door or online at www.dpiano.co.uk. Entry is free for under 21s. Though Mr. Trevelyan's performance marks the end of the regular programme, the Society has announced an additional concert featuring French pianist Jean Ephraim Babouzet. Monsieur Babouzet, who performed the complete solo piano works of Ravel at the Glasshouse in November, will give his recital on Sunday, May the 24th, also at Central Hall. Tickets for Mr. Babousset's concert are £25 and are available at the door or through the Society's website, with, again, free entry for under 21s. Both concerts start at 3 p.m.
Dogs Trust Darlington has reminded pet owners to be aware of hazards such as toxic spring flowers. With spring officially beginning on Friday, March the 20th, the charity warned that seasonal plants and bulbs, including snowdrops, daffodils, tulips and bluebells, pose a serious health risk to dogs. Ingesting these plants can cause symptoms such as vomiting, diarrhea, drooling, lethargy, and in severe cases, breathing difficulties, tremors or seizures. Aidan O'Connor, senior veterinary surgeon at Dogs Trust, said, "Although cases of poisoning are rare, knowing which plants are dangerous and keeping them out of reach can help prevent accidental poisoning. If you suspect your dog has eaten anything they shouldn't have, including spring bulbs, you must seek vet advice promptly. Daffodils are especially dangerous, with all parts of the plant, particularly the bulb, being highly toxic to dogs. Even drinking water from a vase containing daffodils can cause harm. Other hazardous plants include rhododendrons, azaleas, amaryllis, buttercups, crocuses, primrose, cyclamen, elderberry, foxglove, both leaves and seeds, hyacinth, the bulbs, and lupin, leaves and seeds. Dogs Trust advised owners to contact a vet immediately if they suspect their dog has ingested a toxic plant, even if no symptoms are visible. For guidance, owners can search Dog Friendly Garden at www.dogstrust.org.uk.
Darlington Operatic Society is preparing to stage the family favourite musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamscoat in a new production. The show, directed and choreographed by Joanne Hand, will run at Darlington Hippodrome from Wednesday, April 22nd to Saturday, May the 2nd. Eddie Taylor-Jones, chairman of Darlington Operatic Society, said, "We have long awaited the opportunity to bring Joseph to life at Darlington Hippodrome." The musical, written by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber, is one of the world's most loved family shows. It follows the journey of Jacob's favourite son, Joseph, and his 11 brothers, tracing his path from betrayal and imprisonment to redemption, reunion and forgiveness. The Darlington cast features Ben Connor as Joseph, while the role of the narrator will be shared by Samantha Morrison and Katie Spencer. Other cast members include Julian Cound as Jacob and Potiphar, Eddie Taylor-Jones as Reuben, Luke Oldfield as Simeon, Barry Ianson as Levi, and Bailey Gascoigne as Judah. Supporting roles are filled by Nick Robinson, Phil Bargewell, Joseph Amott, Joshua Kay, Jonathan Wilson-Downs, George Rock, Jack Machen, Calum, James, Stephen Dunn, and Lucy Iverson. The wider company includes Zoe Kent, Lucy Adams, Ali Bailey, Lisa Marie Watson, Grace Mansfield, Safa Alazawi, Eva Ferguson, Joanne Johns, Stacey Dobson, Sasha Bramley, Sally Iverson, Olivia Brady, Sophie Simmons, Freya Moore, Emily Wright, Ruth Richardson, Fran Haig, Zoe Bellamy, Adele McNally, Kyra Batty, Nikita Trainer, Faith Small, and Darian Wright. Young performers will also play a key part in the production, with two teams of children performing on alternate nights. Team Pharaoh includes Ellen Dixon, Grace McGuinness, Juliet Gray, Fawn Gibson, Harrison Brown, Clara Cooper, Eliza Curry, Evie Proctor. Team Potiphar features Arabella Lowry, Chloe Gowling, Lucy Bell, Penny Metcalf, Thomas Lofkoff, Holly Neal, Rosie Tolston and Cassie Hind. Musical direction will be provided by Paul Walker, who will lead a live 15-piece band. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat features well-known songs and includes Any Dream Will Do, Close Every Door to Me, Go, 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 Joseph, and a high-energy finale. Tickets are available exclusively through Darlington Operatic Society and can be booked by calling the ticket hotline on 01325 405 405 or by visiting www.darlingtonos.org.uk.
Darlington were beaten by 2 second-half goals and missed a chance to move into the top three as Kidderminster triumphed at Blackwell Meadows. Ironically, one of the goals that beat them was from David Davis, who played 5 times for Quakers on loan from Wolves in 2009. The result means they have dropped down to 6th in the National League North table. Quakers had some good opportunities in the first half, but within 30 seconds of the restart, Quakers were behind. Davis picked up a short pass, raced clear of the home defence, and slotted the ball past the advancing Rory Watson. Quakers nearly equalised when Callum Griffiths, on the left, was given time to strike a right-foot shot that was pushed around the post. Quakers kept the pressure going, and Toby Lees headed in an in-swinging free kick by Scott Barrow over the top. However, they were carved open on the break on 84 minutes when Riley Reynolds broke up the left, dribbled into the box and beat Watson with a low shot. On Saturday, a moment of quality from Darlington's skipper, Tom Platt, gave Quakers 3 valuable playoff points in a scrappy match at Peterborough Sports. Platt's well-executed volley, his first goal in the league this season, just before half-time on a bobbly pitch, gave Quakers their 10th away win of the season and their first ever at Lincoln Road.
Part of Darlington Street has been closed off after a sinkhole appeared in the same place for the 3rd time in 3 years, prompting an investigation by the council. Darlington Borough Council has confirmed it is aware of the issue in Crown Street and has already taken steps to secure the area. Barriers have been installed to protect the public while further assessments are carried out. This is not the first time the road has been closed due to a sinkhole appearing. In August 2023, in the exact same spot, a hole appeared. In April of last year, a sinkhole appeared outside the Williamstead pub. A large hole in the road also appeared in December 2009, when a sewer collapsed, sparking the closure of the Cornmill shopping centre car park.
A Newton Aycliffe woman who knocked out a bouncer, mowed down a pregnant woman and sank her teeth into a police officer has been locked up. Megan Gibson, 26, was already known to police, having offences of violence on her record from her teens before the latest spate of incidents. The defendant appeared at Durham Crown Court on Thursday, March the 19th, for sentence via court video link from Low Newton Prison. Sean Dodds, prosecuting, said the offences began with a joint assault with a male co-accused after they were escorted from a boxing event at the Big Club in Newton Aycliffe at 10:30 p.m. on April the 14th, 2023. Gibson was heard to shout, "Watch what happens now," before they ran back in half an hour later when they approached a bouncer, punching and stamping on her several times, knocking her unconscious. Bystanders ran to the aid of the victim. While on bail over that incident, Gibson was driving her car in Shildon on August the 15th, 2023, when she spotted a woman passenger in a passing car with whom she had had a previous online row. While approaching a roundabout on Spout Lane, Gibson gestured to the other woman to get out of the car she was travelling in, which she did. As she stood on a grass verge, the defendant drove at her, knocking her to the ground before speeding away. Mr. Dodds said the victim, who was in the early stages of pregnancy, was taken to hospital in Durham, suffering back pain and other injuries to her knees and the rest of her body. Gibson was arrested 4 days later and taken into custody. but having been granted bail, she failed to attend a subsequent court sentencing hearing for the club attack and was the subject of a warrant. Mr. Dodds said police attended a report of disturbance at a house in Darlington on August the 21st last year, and the defendant was found hiding under a bed in an upstairs room. The court heard she refused to come out, threatening police, claiming to be armed with ammonia spray, a petrol bomb, and a knife. When officers began to pull her from under the bed, she bit the hand of one of them, but it did not pierce the skin due to the gloves he was wearing. Gibson of Clanny Road, Newcombe, Aycliffe, was before the court for three offences of assault causing actual bodily harm, one of which was the intention of resisting arrest and for dangerous driving. She admitted all chances. She admitted all charges. She was said to have seven past convictions for 12 offences, including battery and common assault as a youth offender. Kate Barnes, in mitigation, said at the time of the offences in 2023, the defendant was abusing drugs and alcohol. Miss Barnes said the defendant suffers unstable personality disorder, ADHD, anxiety and depression, and her behaviour is further disinhibited by her misuse of alcohol and drugs. But she said she is now clean of drink and drugs, following the months spent on remand in the women's prison in Durham. Judge Joe Kidd said Gibson's behaviour at the boxing event, at which teenagers were present, was disgraceful. Imposing a total 25-month prison sentence, she also banned Gibson from driving for 2 years upon her release from custody. The defendant must then pass an extended retest if she is to lawfully drive again, following expiry of the ban.
And that brings us to the end of this week's news.
And just a reminder, some of the contact numbers from the news this week. Flowers and Dogs. For guidance, owners can search Dog Friendly Garden at www.dogstrust.org.uk. The Piano Society. Tickets are available online at www.dpiano.co.uk. Operatic Society. Tickets can be booked by calling the ticket hotline on Darlington 405 405 or by visiting www.darlingtonos.org.uk. And now it's time for your magazine. And your articles this week: Hartlepool's religious site older than Notre Dame, Why Do Gulls Steal Our Food? Scientists experimented with French fries to find out. How to have a guilt-free wardrobe clear out without sending anything to landfill. And great tip for cooks with vision loss: use a Lazy Susan to organise your refrigerator.
Hartlepool's religious site, older than Notre Dame, based on an article from the Northern Echo. Hartlepool's headland has a long history as a religious site, dating back centuries before Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral. While Notre Dame's construction began in 1163, worship was already taking place on Hartlepool's cliffs as early as 640 AD. The site was home to Hartlepool Abbey, also known by names like Heretu Abbey, one of the North East's earliest and most significant monasteries. Though no walls of the original Anglo-Saxon monastery remain above ground, archaeological excavations have revealed a monastic cemetery, namestones, the remains of timber buildings, and a possible small stone chapel wall dating from roughly 650 to 800 AD, providing insight into the settlement that once thrived there. Here are the five facts about the site that you may not have known. The monastery was founded in 640 AD, more than 500 years before Notre Dame's first stone was laid, Hartlepool Abbey was established. The monastery, also known as Heretu, was founded by Hugh and later led by St. Hild. It was a double monastery where men and women lived and worshipped together, a radical setup for its time. It was a powerhouse of early Christianity in the northeast. Kings sent their children to be educated at Hartlepool Abbey, making a significant hub of learning and Christianity in the region. The community played a crucial role in shaping the early Christian story of the north. Archaeological digs have uncovered significant findings. Excavations around St Hill's Church have revealed one of the largest known Anglo-Saxon monastic cemeteries in the north. Namestones and remains of timber buildings have also been discovered, providing valuable insights into the monastery's history. While no walls of the original monastery remain above ground, the ground beneath St Hilda's Church has proved to be rich in clues. The present-day St Hilda's Church, visible for miles out at sea, was built around 1190 in the early English style. This makes the building younger than Notre Dame, but it stands on much older sacred ground. Parish histories suggest the church may have even reused stone from earlier structures linked to the monastery. Hartlepool's headland has been a place of worship and reflection for almost 1,400 years, far longer than Paris's Notre Dame. It remains a significant site for both locals and visitors, offering a glimpse into the region's rich Christian history.